It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So we were going to start, at least I was going to start this show by taking some accountability, and I'll talk about that at some point, but we got news. Sean hit the horn. The Texans have re-upped with Trent Brown. 1 year, $7 million. Trent Brown is back as a Texan, so your right tackle from last year to close out the year is back. He signed like a 1 year minimum deal last year. He turns that into a nice single year payday. And maybe Ed Ingram is next. They picked a couple guys pretty much off the street. Trent Brown was. They traded for Ed Ingram, gave up a late pick, and now he is someone who is valued around $13 to $15 million. But they do get the Trent Brown signing done, and now you have two starters back from last year, at least at the end of last year. Ursary and Brown, and you can throw in Jake Andrews if you believe they won't upgrade there. So moves are being made. The Texans, as of this morning, weren't even cap compliant. Like, they were over the cap. That's why the Derek Stingley extension, or excuse me, restructuring is in the cards. They got to make room. And one of the reasons for that is they got to get this offensive line right. And Trent Brown, in their eyes, is a step to do that. They don't have a lot of options, and if you like how a guy played last year, why not bring him back? But this is kind of in the kind of their MO. The guy off the street, guy who didn't have a lot of suitors when you signed him last year, and he played well enough for you to be someone you're willing to bring back. He wasn't great. Trent Brown, if you go by PFF, which certainly people take issue with, was not great pass blocking, if I remember correctly. I'm pulling up his PFF grade right now. Maybe a lot of people are, as it's slowing down on the Trent Brown page. But if I remember, he was overall the 40th best tackle in football last year, which is fine. And as a pass blocker, 56, was a better, much better run blocker, 28th out of 89 total. So they get an average tackle back. Some spots are going to need improvement. Tackle was one you could probably live with the two guys who ended last year. You hope to get better play from your center and your other guard spot if you have Ed Ingram in your plans to bring back. So they make a move to retain one of their own. Trent Brown back as a Texan. Adam Schefter, I believe. At least that's the first place I saw the news. So there it is. Is the bar average? Not that Trent Brown could have been improved on unless you wanted to pay a lot of money to a tackle. Any good tackle on the market is going to get paid quite a bit more than the Texans are likely willing to spend. But at this point, we're doing, hey, let's get some continuity. Second year of Cole Popovich, second year of Nick Caley. We hope we are at minimum an average offensive line, and that might be good enough this upcoming year. But they are working, and this is one step towards trying to solidify a spot that they've been unable to solidify for the entirety of Nick Caserio's tenure. So nice payday for Trent Brown. Congratulations, man. You go from, is he still in the league?
Yeah,
to $7 million to play for the Texans next year.
I think that's Nick Caserio. Is that Nick Caserio's strategy? Is just to be like, we are shooting for average. We are shooting for the 40th best. If I can sign a veteran who I know can be the 40th best tackle in football, that's a win for me. Because drafting them, they're the 60th best.
Yeah, they don't get average.
they don't do that. So if, like, hey, we can bring back the dream team of Trent Brown and I forgot, Jake Andrews?
Yes.
Jake Andrews. I was going to call him Mark. I was like, definitely not Mark Andrews. And Ed Ingram. Let's go. Let's bring back PFF's 25th ranked offensive line. Run it back.
Are you talking about the 2004 Dream Team?
Is that yes.
The one who embarrassed the country?
Yes. The one that causes an existential crisis
in U.S. basketball?
Yes.
Where they had to get the stars to actually care and that caused the Redeem Team to happen?
Yes. That I believe that is Nick Casario. Like, I mean, if you think about it, it was two scrap heap guys, Trent Brown and Ed Ingram, and to a certain extent, Jake Andrews.
Oh, no, not to a certain extent. They pulled him off the street, too.
And they cobbled together a below-average offensive line with that and run it back.
Can they get to average just bringing guys back
continuity,
who were around last year?
I mean, I exclude Ariante Irsery from this because he was like a second-round pick. Yeah. There's actually reason to believe that he can be an actual guy.
Yeah.
The other four positions, yeah, give me guys.
Well, we know
last year's guys.
Well, we know one of the guys won't be back in Titus Howard, so maybe they find improvement there, and that's how they get to average.
I'm uneasy with the thought of Nick Casario trying to replace a guy.
Yeah, understood. A guy who he paid a lot of money to play a different position. The other thing is Trent Brown doesn't play a lot of football because of injuries.
No,
He was coming back from an injury last year and played 7 games in the regular season. He played 3 games the year before and only 11 the year before. So if he is your answer at right tackle, if we just go by recent history, you need a competent swing tackle behind him.
Or he's your swing tackle.
But we're okay. That's not a bad point. But that means you're paying $7 million to a swing tackle.
Yeah.
And then you're drafting a right tackle in the first round.
That I would assume that's the if that's the case. I mean, it could be a situation of you get Trent Brown, you draft a guy in the first or second round at tackle, and can't battle it out.
And Trent Brown's your break in case of emergency.
Yeah, and hopefully that guy can beat out Trent Brown. If he can't, Trent Brown can start for you.
So that's not a bad thought.
Recent history, though, tells me that it might be a Blake Fisher situation where the guy you draft, it's like, he could be the sixth offensive line.
Wait a minute. Because
they have spent a, like, they do theoretically have a right tackle.
They have drafted two tackles in the second round the last couple years.
Yes.
And one of them worked out.
And they also drafted Drew Scruggs in the second round.
Well, yes.
They traded him.
We do have the interior to discuss if we so choose. As we've done quite a bit.
This is just me highlighting the draft record of, like, in theory, especially in NFL offseason, it's easy just to go, well, you just draft a first-round starter, and then you shore up an offensive line spot, so you got to go offensive line in the draft. And it's like, with Nick Casario actually drafting an offensive lineman, like, you're not shoring up anything. It guarantees you nothing.
I just don't know that in the case where they draft the first-rounder and Trent Brown is your swing, that swing tackles make as much as good backup quarterbacks do. Like, $7 million, as the early numbers have been reported, is what a backup quarterback you like makes.
Yeah,
I don't know that swing tackles make that type of money.
Like Davis Mills makes around that.
Yeah.
Range.
I don't. So the number, even though it's not very high for an actual starting tackle, or one that's good, makes me assume that Trent Brown has an in to be their starter. I don't know that you. We'll see if it's fully guaranteed. And how, if he got, say, some guy beats him out and he gets cut, how much money they're on the hook for him. But at least we do know that he's coming back.
And they did throw, what was it? Was it 12 or 15 million at Cam Robinson?
I think it got to 10.
10?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, they threw 10 million at Cam Robinson to start, and he never started a game.
He wasn't good, yeah. Did he get hurt too before?
I think
did he get beat out?
I think he got nicked in training camp. And Ariante Irsery kind of Wally Pipped him, and then they traded him to the Browns.
So it was 1 year, $12 million for Cam Robinson, just under $11 million guaranteed. And as you said, he got traded to the Browns. So they should draft an O-lineman anyway.
They should.
Even if it is a first rounder, even if it is Casario, because Trent Brown isn't a long-term solution, and as I laid out, he gets hurt quite a bit, so there's no guarantee he'll be around for the majority of the season. But at least you have some cover.
But the offensive lineman that you draft, historically, also not a long-term solution.
I know. I am at the forefront of Casario can't draft O-linemen. I just don't want to do it all the time, even though it is at the front of my mind.
I think post combine, I'm like almost exhausted with, yeah, just draft this guy, you know, draft this position in the first round, and boom, you just solved your issue for every team in the league.
Look, you don't need to take the role I take on the morning show, because I'm that guy when I'm like, oh, yeah, they'll just draft an offensive lineman. When John mentions it, oh, yeah, that's going to work out. I'm that guy. I'm always that guy because I know that. We went through it this morning where I was Del Ole is filling in for the role of Sean Mapes on the morning show like it's a soap opera. I was doing that going, yeah, because we were discussing if the Texans they're lower in the first round. If they draft maybe the last first round graded O-lineman, offensive tackle, John was saying, hey, Duane Brown was drafted as like the seventh offensive lineman. Look how that worked, offensive tackle. Look how that worked. I was like, yeah, Duane Brown was drafted by two GMs ago.
Yeah, and Rick Smith didn't miss in the first round.
Rick Smith had a long track record of hitting in the first round. Then you throw first round plus O-lineman for Nick Casario, or just you want to include day one or two picks first round outside of, we'll see with Ursary, not a great track record. I was doing that this morning. I think I'm exhausted by doing that. Now it's your turn to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. The track record's the track record at this
point. You can't fight it until he fixes it.
Yeah, it's obviously what's holding, or the biggest thing holding the offense back. And unless, that's why I'm more pro Linderbaum, because it's I know that guy's good. Nick Casario can't screw up the evaluation on that guy. That guy will be good.
Yeah.
And so the cost, and it's a little bit different now with the Bears likely getting in that bidding. Or at least I'm sure they called his agent, even though it's not the legal tampering period. I'm sorry, I just accused the Chicago Bears of a serious crime.
Yeah, you'll be fine. And so will they.
I think that's why I'd rather pay premium for some certainty that this guy can play, especially at center.
Yes, I would agree. Keith, you got in early. You have a college basketball question. We'll get to that. We still have to take some accountability because we spent the segment talking about how something shouldn't be worried about, and then it happened hours after we talked about it. So we'll get to that. Anyone else want to get in, you can, after Keith, 713-780-3776. Trent Brown is back. We will see what's next up for the Texans. They are up against it cap-wise, so they do need to make moves so they can make more moves. We will we'll talk about that as well. We're just getting started. Hour one. Join us.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to Keith here. He's got a college basketball question for me. The Cougs, after a slow start and let's say a concerning first portion of the second half, got going and pulled away from the Baylor Bears. They win that one going away. The crowd went from anxious to very excited as that run got going, and they kept turning the Bears over, which is something Kelvin Sampson has talked about, that they haven't been as good getting turnovers and turning that into points, but they were able to do that last night, and the shots started falling, so they beat Baylor on senior night for the Cougs. They win that one. They're for several seniors' final home game as they prepare for the Big 12 tournament after this weekend, and the Big 12 tournament floor, which is currently being showcased because the women are playing, as you might expect, is getting slandered by some of the older people watching the game. Like Terry McCauley quote tweeted after watching a video of the Big 12 floor that the Big 12 account was promoting, going, I think he said atrocious or appalling, whatever he said. He wasn't thrilled. But it's mostly not because of the glass floor that we've talked about. It's because they have the same design that they had last year that people did not like. And people find that aesthetically displeasing, and they went with it again. I saw something. A lot of people were like, you have the glass floor, so you can make that thing look like anything you want, and you chose the design from last year that everyone hated, and the Big 12 said, hey, we love consistency and continuity. You'll grow to love it. Not yet.
Yeah. Also, the Big 12 definitely does not love consistency and continuity.
Well, no.
I present to you the fact they're playing on a glass court as the reason why.
Yes.
They're willing to change things.
That's true. But this, they're at least going to give a couple years this, to yeah, the general design of the floor.
One that makes it look like your TV has a glitch.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Big 12.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. The endless possibilities of what you can
and
do.
And they chose that design. This is horrific, is what Terry McCauley wrote.
Will the only difference be that they'll just be able to put ads on the court?
Well, as I watched the opening tip-off from this game between, I don't know, maybe the Texas Tech women versus Colorado or something. I don't know who they're playing. What you see as you start, you see like the lines at the three-point line and half court, they're glowing. And then you see like a graphic, like the Big 12 logo in giant, and then it goes away as the game begins. So, you get the Phillips 66 stuff. It's not great. It's the seats are gray too. All of it together makes it look odd.
I think you had to change the design for nothing else other than just like, this is different. This court is different.
Yeah. Instead,
it's like the same.
It's the same, except it glows at times. Yeah, it was Cincinnati versus K-State, whatever. And people aren't happy. Let's get to Keith here. He's got a college basketball question. What's up?
Hey, guys. Big win for the Cougs last night. You know, pretty awesome dunk by Kingston Flemings. You know, huge win. My question is, you know, obviously, post-game, during the game as well, L.J. Crier on the big screen, played at Baylor and Houston, obviously got to the title game last year with Houston, was kind of honored at the game. Was able to get on the court, get his ring, the whole nine. The Warriors are in town tonight to play the Rockets, so obviously that made sense for him to pop in. My question is, on the Jumbotron, you see Brandon Pajemski with him as kind of his teammate that decided to attend the game with him. Do you think Pods was L.J. Crier's first choice, last choice? Do you think Seth and Steph Curry and all the other teammates, Draymond, said no thanks? Where do you think Pods fell in terms of accepting the invite to go to the game? Thanks, guys.
I don't think L.J. Crier is inviting Draymond to this game or Steph, if Steph is even traveling. Crier and Podzinski are about the same age. In fact, Crier's a little older. So vets, younger players, there's a particularly when the vets are future Hall of Famers, it's kind of a different dynamic where you're not just inviting Steph Curry to a random Cougs game versus Baylor. Like if it was Cougs versus Arizona on a Wednesday night, Steph doesn't need L.J. Crier's invite. I'm sure he could get there if he wanted to go watch a really good college basketball game. This is about who was playing and who was being invited. And Crier probably has spoken more words to Podzinski than he's spoken to Steph, Draymond, and others put together as far as non-basketball stuff. So that's what this is. You're 24, I'm 23. You want to come watch the Cougs while I'm getting honored? Sure.
Yeah. I'm looking at their roster. Guy Santos, maybe?
Yeah, it would be a bunch of the young guys.
Guy Santos probably ahead of them on the call list. I don't know. Maybe Pods is a cool guy. And
possibly.
We just don't get it because we don't know him, you know?
Yeah, this is less about Pods and more about who L.J. Crier would actually think to invite to the game.
Yeah, just I will say based on on-court demeanor and what I've observed, I don't know if I would want to hang out with Pods.
Well, you don't know the man personally.
I don't know the man personally, but just how he plays as a basketball player. I'm like, yeah, you know what? He's all right, but yeah, I would ask other guys before. They have a guy from Florida. Probably didn't invite him, I'd imagine.
No, probably some sore feelings, maybe. But I think it's just two guys, both guards, we're the same age. Now, you want to hang out with Quentin Post?
No.
No.
This is what I'm realizing looking at the Warriors roster. It's not that many guys I want to hang out with.
It's really. GP2 is not someone you want to hang out with?
I mean, he's high on the list.
Maybe Pat Spencer?
I feel like Pat Spencer and I would get along.
You're probably the same age.
But he's 29.
Yeah.
He's a 29-year-old white guy. So
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you might have things in common. We will see. So,
hey, like Mac Miller, dude?
What do you think about, well, just name one. Is it Post Malone? Is that the one you would go to?
Yeah.
But there it is, Keith. I don't think any of those guys were even asked. Al Horford, I don't think, got asked.
The vets aren't
spending a Wednesday night in Houston watching Baylor versus the Cougs.
Porzingis, probably no.
The only way that would have happened if Kelvin Sampson had extended an invitation to one of the guys like Seth.
Yeah.
Seth or Steph. And they're like, sure, Kelvin's asking me, I'll do it. Legend in the game. Pods and Cryer are the right duo to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, Pods, Cryer, GP2, Guy Santos, my guy Pat Spencer. Those are the only guys that I can see going to this. Without, like you said, an invitation where it's like he's almost like a guest of
the program.
Guest and, of honor.
Yeah.
Steph Curry.
Stuff like that. And maybe if Steph wanted to speak to the teams, stuff
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, nature. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you don't get it with Pods. People who root for the Warriors don't get why Steve Kerr loves them. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr since they're in town talking about Pods and why you should get it. Sean.
Yeah, no, I would love to hear the pro Pods case.
Well, we'll hear that from Steve Kerr when we come back. Rockets do play the Warriors tonight on Prime. So if you're looking for it on Space City Home Network, I don't know how that works because we've done this thing where some of them are exclusively on, because the Rockets Heat was not exclusively to Prime. You can see it on Space City.
Same thing as Rockets Magic. So I think the Prime games, maybe.
As I look
on the whole, are also available.
Well,
on Space
it says
City?
NBC Sports Bay Area, okay. So it's not exclusive. So maybe Space City Home Network has it as well. But either way, it'll be Rockets Warriors tonight as KD faces his former team. And I put it that way because Prime, in promoting the game on social media without Steph, and who cares about putting Draymond on any graphic anymore, they're not going to use Pods as the draw to get you to watch if you're not a Warrior or Rocket fan. So what they did was they just had Kevin Durant and his Warriors, a graphic of Kevin Durant in a Warriors uniform going head-to-head with Kevin Durant in a Rockets uniform. Kevin Durant faces his former team. Sure, ignore that there are several other former teams since that point, and we've done this already a lot with Kevin Durant. This is why we want you to watch, because the Warriors are 31-30 and not very good. So, but we will hear why you should be a Pods guy, like LJ Cryer and maybe Sean will be when we come back, because Steve Kerr will talk about the face of the Warriors, at least tonight. But before we get to any of that, we're going to talk, at least I will, about Monument Chevrolet. You're going to recognize some of the Warriors because they've been around in our lives for a long time, and that's kind of how it is at Monument Chevrolet. The people who work there have been there a long time. That's because they enjoy what they do, and it's like a family when you work there, and it's a family when you get there. So once you find the car you want, first you go to monumentchevrolet.com and pick the car and the deal you want, whether it is something like a Silverado 1500, or maybe you're looking for an SUV. Maybe the electric vehicles are what you're looking for, whether that could be something like a Silverado EV, the Equinox, the Blazer. They have electric vehicles and different models for those. And then you head out to Pasadena. They're off of Beltway 8 and 225. And one of the people who's been there for a while who will make you feel like family is Jeff. He is their GM. He's the guy that should be your point person. Any questions you have for him, he will take care of you. And that's kind of what they're about. They want to take care of you no matter what you're looking for, whether it be pre-owned or new, or if you're a business owner who's hoping to add something to your fleet, or you're starting a business and you're looking for that first vehicle to get your business going. It's all out there at Monument Chevrolet. In business for over 50 years, they're doing it the right way. You should be the next person who takes advantage of that and gets yourself into a great car at a great price. That's the Monument Chevrolet way. MonumentChevrolet.com is a website. Remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Cougs win. That's actually more important than who Paz invites to the game. It was a little touch and go early, and in that second half, they had some issues. Of course, the typical, this is how long they've gone without scoring. That graphic came up. I think it hit about 4+ minutes before they scored. But they got going, turned them over. There was a scare, Kingston Fleming's. People thought, at least the broadcast thought, he might have been seriously injured. He kind of like just got stretched out and fell awkwardly. But he was back. He stayed in the game and had some nice moments in that second half as the Cougs close out their home schedule with the win over Baylor and Scott Drew. Well, the subject of our segment previous, thanks to the call from Keith, is or was Brandon Podzinski, someone who Sean doesn't get. And he's not the only one. People don't understand Steve Kerr's love of Podzinski, so much so that a San Francisco area radio host asks about why Pods is someone Steve Kerr must play. He's the inverse of what it is here with Ime and Reed Shepard, although Ime did say at practice, I believe yesterday, that expect Reed Shepard to play big minutes. And we've seen that. He is at minimum a 25-minute-a-night guy, and that probably will go up as they continue on. But people know that Pods is beloved by Steve, maybe not so much Reed by Ime. But here's Steve Kerr explaining why Pods is one of his guys.
Fans just don't get what you see in Pods.
Fans,
so what do you see in young Brandon Podziemski?
Well, he's got a really good feel for the game. When he's off the ball, he is one of the best defensive players we have on our team. And I know people may not see that, but you know, it's the anticipation. It's, you know, playing on the weak side. It's weak side help. It's being disruptive. It's taking charges. He's one of our best rebounders. You know, two straight 15 rebound games last week. And offensively, you know, he's still finding his way. I mean, I talk about it all the time publicly. But you know, getting off the ball early in a possession and then getting it back, he generates a lot of shots for us. You know, running through the catch, generating closeouts, and then, you know, all of a sudden we're attacking 5-on-4. He does that better than most of our guys. And for us to generate good shots, he's generally got to be out on the floor more often than not.
Is that enough, Sean? Do you get it now why Podziemski is one of Steve's guys?
I get it more, but it's more of the personality. That's what I was.
Is it the hair too? Which would be interesting considering you're a hair guy as well, but you don't like his version of it.
I don't know. It's just he doesn't have a good aura.
Wow.
He just doesn't have like good vibes.
You don't like the vibes, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm saying that I just
you don't understand it
from my couch watching him on TV. Again, LJ Cryer, he would have been towards the bottom of my list of. But LJ Cryer, you know him personally. Steve Kerr knows him personally.
You just don't have.
Yeah,
that
I
type
do like
of
the rebound. I like guards that rebound,
which is good. Well, there will be a lot of Pods versus Reed tonight, so we'll see. I don't know that Reed gives off bad vibes, guys. So you probably like him a little more. So we
maybe.
He
seems cool.
So we will see. Our Pods, we got Pods at home. And we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll
tonight.
See which one's the Pods that the other one has at home.
Yeah. When some Rocket fan is like, why can't Reed Shepard be more like Pods? And maybe there's a Warrior fan saying the same thing.
Who's the Fruit Hoops of and who's the Fruit Loops?
Yeah, which one would you rather have? We'll see that tonight as Rockets versus Warriors in a game where we're talking a lot about Podziemski, which means the Rockets should win this one pretty handedly. I mean,
watch Pods go for like 30.
I mean, Yeah, but there's no Buddy Hield out there to torture us, so that's good. That's nice.
That is nice.
And Nate Williams is out there. He had a very memorable quote this week when he said, when asked about going after Kawhi, he goes, he bleeds just like I do. It's pretty much, I'm a grown man, he a grown man, we're going to go at it. He goes, he bleeds just like I do. Nate Williams, one of those guys trying to make his way in the NBA, said, I'm not scared.
Tarjason, we'll see about that. Well, Tarjason's like, yeah, you bleed.
You think it's a Vince, you think it's a Williams thing? He's got a problem?
I don't know. I would just steer clear.
You cannot hurt two Williamses in a matter of 2 weeks. Like, we played some sound earlier about all the Jaylens in the NBA. The Williams is a very popular name for an athlete, the last name. He can't take out another borderline Williams in 2 weeks' time. There may need to be an investigation.
I hope he doesn't.
But that's all I can do. You know what? I can only hope. I can't.
That's all I can do.
I cannot.
I can't say he won't.
Yeah, that's true. We have evidence that says he has. And he.
Williams and Watkins, too.
Maybe it's the letter W. Who knows? But he has gone after a Williams and a Watkins, and now another Williams comes to town who has the personality of one who won't back down. If he's telling people that I was going after Kawhi because he bleeds just like I do, you imagine if those two come head to head, Eason and Williams.
Yeah, that's
we
that's
may
the
have
thing.
Another confrontation.
I don't know if there's a mediator, a cooler heads prevailing.
At this point, it's Amen. He's the cooler head of the Terror Twins. We talked about that. So maybe it's Amen who breaks them up if it needs to be. Other news, Jabari Smith, as I just tossed a pencil, should be back. He should be back in the lineup, so the Rockets getting back to fuller health. Yeah.
Thompson, full go, too.
Yeah, so that's good news. The wings on the team are healthy, so they'll have their full complement there, except for Jayshon Tate, I guess. But we know he's in and out of the rotation, depending on the health of other guys. So they should be at full strength as far as the guys they generally play game to game. So Rockets, Warriors tonight, find it where you can. If it's not on Space City Home Network, you can find it on Prime. As the Rockets, who have they do have the loss to Miami, but they have played winning basketball. You can determine if you've enjoyed how the games have gone, but they play winning basketball. They continue to win games, and they're going to need to. You look at where the West is; they are tied as far as being 9 games back with the Wolves, but they have a percentage point lead in the race for third with the Wolves and the Rockets both 7-3 in their last 10. The Nuggets and Lakers have fallen off in their last 10. So even with that, there's only a game and a half difference between third and sixth. And we were talking about this morning, and I imagine we'll have these conversations as we get further and further along in the regular season. Who would you rather see? Playoff matchups? We can do this now. We're getting closer and closer. The easy one is, hey, let's play the Lakers. They look like a team that's easy to break. They look like a team pretty fragile, considering their lack of defensive aptitude. And you push them a little bit, they feel like a team who will capitulate and go, okay, the season's over, let's go home. I just don't like the fact that we would have to deal with the narrative surrounding the Lakers. It won't be about hoops. It'll be about all the other stuff. So in that case, if you have the opportunity to watch the first round on Space City Home Network as opposed to picking the national broadcast, go with Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins. At least it'll be about the Rockets and basketball, because I don't know how much coverage nationally. Yeah. It'll be about the actual series. It'll be about what does this mean for LeBron? And can Luka assert himself as a Laker?
Luka and JJ hate each other.
Stuff like that. You will barely get a Rockets mention other than Stephen A. calling Kevin Durant great and saying the Rockets are some hard-playing brothers, or whatever he might say about them.
Although we would get Ayton versus Capella.
Ooh.
We would get that.
As far as in theory. The show within the show,
yes.
That is something that would be a bit enjoyable to see how Capella, who's already responded in a funny way to DeAndre Ayton, how he would treat him on the floor. As one, if you missed it, DeAndre Ayton, not happy with his role with the Lakers, said, they're trying to make me Clint Capella. Of all people, he picked Clint Capella. But that was the name. Rim runner, vertical threat, and defender. You know, he didn't like that.
In a way, that is, you can read it as a positive for Clint Capella, that he is the name that is like this type of player.
Yeah.
Like, he's the archetype.
And he did it on some great teams.
Yeah, he did on a 65-win team.
Yeah. And as we said before, and a lot of people have said, you would be lucky to be that guy because that would be perfect for the Lakers, actually. The Lakers are like, we'd love you to be that because that's what we actually need, not what you think you are.
Yeah, you got bought out by your last team.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yes, we
were desperate because we had whiffed on some trades for centers. I mean, it was either you or Jackson Hayes.
Yeah.
What? You were on the street pretty much. What are you talking about? You can't be Clint Capella. You better decide to be Clint Capella.
Yeah, being Clint Capella would be a great career move. But we actually touch on the Lakers matchup a little bit on this episode of Rocket Power.
So you can hear that starting tomorrow as Joe George and one Sean Mapes walk you through the week that was with the Rockets.
It was more framed around Reed Sheppard in the playoffs, what to expect with that, given it's a likely first-round matchup, and it's one where you might get picked on, and we make the point of, like, well, you can just pick on those guys.
those guys can be picked on, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reed Sheppard may see himself manned up on Luka from time to time. The Lakers are a matchup-hunting team, and Luka loves to go find a guy he can take advantage of. So, Reed may have to be ready for that, but the advantages in a lot of places. Look, they favor the Rockets, but sure, could Luka be the best player in a series and go win them a series?
Absolutely.
That is possible. I just think if you're the Rockets, who haven't been as good defensively but believe themselves to be a defensive team, you can find answers for a roster for the Lakers that's very flawed and doesn't seem all that cohesive.
Yes, and it's a very Ime Udoka could win the series in a very Ime Udoka way, where it's like, we just play tougher than them. Yeah. We play harder.
The
like,
way he would actually enjoy winning
the
series.
Yes, yes. It's like, if there's a loose ball and it's a Rockets player and Luka going for it, I like the Rockets player. Same thing with LeBron. Like, there's just a lot of, like, they can just out. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, not a high work rate guy. So there's a lot of situations where they could, you know, win in the margins type deal.
Very true. We'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number to call us if you want to get in. Okay, we've had a Trent Brown signing to distract from us needing to take accountability. We were on something yesterday, and immediately afterwards, we got checked by the baseball gods. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listen to Texas Radio Hall of Famers John and Lance weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Sean, yesterday we talked about how the World Baseball Classic and the injury concerns were a little overblown because you got to go out there and practice for baseball during the spring and do baseball things. So what you're telling us, for the most part, is just baseball's dangerous, because why wouldn't you be susceptible to an injury playing in spring training a couple of days a week versus playing at most 7 games in the World Baseball Classic and then immediately, mere hours after we go on this, I don't want to call it a rant, but we had
unhinged tirade.
Yeah, sure. We had a discussion about how silly it is to be so concerned when baseball, you can get hurt doing anything. Spencer Arrighetti is evidence. Jeremy Pena doing a regular old baseball thing, fielding a grounder, hits him wrong, and now he has a finger issue. I say finger issue because the initial reporting was a fracture. That has yet to be proven true. The reporter who put that out there talked to Nelson Cruz, yes, that Nelson Cruz, about it, because he's the GM for the DR team. And he said, well, the first testing was inconclusive. We're going to need more testing, an MRI, to tell us. So we're still waiting for the official diagnosis for Jeremy Pena.
Baseball season's here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
It's
not Astros doctors even involved.
I know.
And we got initial report that's been refuted. And we'll see what the actual extent of the injury.
Wait a week for to see what happened.
Because the initial report said he'd miss the first round of the WBC. I don't know how. It was like at the tip of his finger, the alleged fracture. Now they're not confident in that yet. So we will see. But yeah, this is on us. We were very cavalier about the thought of a guy getting hurt when at any time you can get hurt playing baseball. This wasn't getting drilled by a pitcher. This wasn't fouling a ball off your shin. It was simply fielding a grounder.
Yeah.
And while fielding a grounder and the ball bouncing wrong could have been a thing if he was down with his with the Astros in spring training, it wasn't with the Astros. It was in an exhibition game, and we got to take the L here. We were very flippant.
I don't think I have to take the L.
You don't want to, huh? We were very flippant about how overblown the injury concerns were, and then a member of this Astros team, a guy we're going to count on, gets hurt mere hours after we talk about it.
Was he going to fill grounders at Astros training?
That is one logical way to approach it, but it could have been a different bounce because he's on a different field and he never gets hurt doing it that way.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah, a sliding doors is
Astros
what we're doing
players
here.
Players get hurt doing dumb stuff.
Jeremy Pena got hurt. Well, it's not dumb stuff. They're just playing baseball. Well, for me, that's dumb stuff, but for other people, it's not dumb stuff.
If you're wearing an Astros jersey, it's not dumb. If you're wearing a Dominican Republic jersey, it's dumb.
Sure.
Why are you wasting your time with this?
That is my thought. He was just doing a baseball thing, and baseball things happen. But...
No, but it is a ding. Although it doesn't sound like he's going to miss any Astros baseball. Sounds like he might not even miss all of the Dominican baseball.
Well, how things happen with the Astros. The initial reporting, not so bad. And then we find out he lost a hand.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So let's not assume, just because he was not wearing an Astro uniform,
Nelson Cruz wouldn't do that.
That the Astro curse doesn't follow him wherever he goes.
No, that's a Dana Brown. That's Dana Brown type stuff. Nelson Cruz isn't about that shenanigans. Nelson Cruz, and do you know who the manager of the DR is? It's Albert Pujols. I love that they just have celebrity coaches for these teams.
Yeah, and who do we have? Is it a DeRosa?
DeRosa. Yeah. And like the hitting coaches, and all, it's all like Matt Holliday. It's all just like guys that were great at baseball when I was a kid are just coaching the
It's like the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, this guy, okay. Tuliski, is he around?
What's he up to? So there it is. I mean, we're tongue-in-cheek, we're taking accountability. I just did want to point out how, whatever.
It is. We do have to address
that we talked about it in a way,
and then
about it, and then hours after we talk about it, there's an injury to an Astro we're going to really count on. So there it is. If we get word on the actual extent of the Jeremy Pena injury before we wrap it up today, we'll let you know. But right now, it's up in the air, which can go either way. If as an Astro fan, you know, it'll go the worst way.
I would like to assume that most doctors or most, you know, medical apparatus teams are better than the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bleak to think about, like, what if that's the best we can do is Astros medical updates. So I would like to believe that it won't be something catastrophic.
We can only hope.
We can only hope.
When we come back, we have another major trade in the NFL. An AFC contender helps their quarterback. We will tell you about that. No, it's not the Texans, but a team they own, at least in their own, at least in NRG, has made a move to help their quarterback. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.